Welcome to Menschmaking, the show about Jewish values to help make you a better person. This is Rabbi Moshe here, along with my co-pilot, Bobby.
Hello, shalom.
Shalom, Bobby. We're very excited to be back here after Reading Week. It's been a nice little break. I think some of us spent some time in Cancun, rumor has it.
Yeah, I think, you know, half of Laurier, most of Western, and small town rabbi.
That's pretty cool. It's a pretty good place to be. So now that everybody's back in full work mode, what better time could there be to focus on making yourself a mensch than right now? That's right, there is no better time.
Oh, it wasn't rhetorical, okay.
So back on track, we're going to talk about today the notion of criticism and why people find it so difficult to accept criticism. Why do people get defensive? And maybe another way of looking at criticism that can help us all to become better people. At the end of the day, the ones who can help us become our best selves often deliver their help in the form of criticism. Sometimes it's a little bit too bitter to swallow, and other times we make it ourselves too bitter to swallow. But there's no question that criticism from a third party is something that's crucial to helping us become better versions of ourselves. And even self-criticism is helpful to become better versions of ourselves. But we have to figure out a way to avoid the trap of falling into the defensive position every time we hear a little bit of criticism. We have to learn how to detach emotionally and listen to what's being said, because very often, although not always, very often, there's some truth. There's some truth in the criticism. And as lovers of truth, we need to be able to accept that and disassociate from the knee-jerk caveman reaction of, how dare you criticize me, you're an idiot. Matter of fact, you did the same thing last week, so therefore you can't tell me what to do, and therefore I'm okay. That doesn't help anybody. Even if you prove the whole world wrong, you're still exactly where you were before. So you want to be able to keep moving forward. Best way to do that, one of the best ways to do that anyway, is to learn how to accept criticism and not to become so defensive. So let me ask you, Bobby, what do you think some of the reasons are that people become so defensive when they get criticized? You see it all the time. People just fly into defensive mode so fast. And they'll pull anything out of their quiver, you know, any arrow, whatever it is. You're an idiot? Sure. The whole world does it? Sure. Any justification, whatever it is, they'll just fling it back at the person. So defensive.
Well, I think...
Why?
I think it's... First of all, I think this is a really important topic for today. Like, I mean, you see people... And this is like... I'll take it to a political place, right? But you see people on the right and the left, you know, they criticize one another, and when they criticize each other, it's like, how dare you say this? You are this right-wing individual. How dare you, right? Well, it's like maybe that person has some validity to their point. And I think it's two-part, the answer. I think it might be because people have such a large ego. Maybe not such a large, like, in a sense that they believe that they know everything, right? And, mm-hmm. and somebody else can't tell them, you know, boo. And then the other part is maybe they don't have a good idea of what they're talking about, right? And nobody wants to say they don't know what they're talking about.
No.
Right? It's the hardest thing to say, like, I don't know, right? Because you already started saying you know, right? And how right. can you contradict yourself by saying, actually, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, right? And that goes right into the ego thing. It's like, well, then this person will think I'm a stupid head, but you are anyways.
So I have to keep faking it.
Fake it till you make it, but no, I don't think that's. But I think that's why it happens. I don't know. Do you agree?
I agree. Sure. I see that all the time. I think people are also afraid of, you know, what they think are the implications of the criticism. Like if this criticism is valid, right? I'm a total failure. It means I'm terrible. They think that it's really something about the totality of their person, right? It's like a judgment on who you are on every level.
Well, that's
in the moment of criticism, when you're getting the criticism, it's hard to remember that you have a lot of things you do well and a lot of things that are great about you and that people love you for so many different things. At that moment, all you think of, it consumes your entire field of vision, is this person thinks I'm an idiot. And that hurts. And it's just a natural, you know, almost safety mechanism, self-defense mechanism. To deflect that, to push back, because it feels like such an overwhelming threat. And it's just, it's I think it's a shame.
Well, I remember I was listening to Jordan Peterson. He was saying something along the same lines where he's like, don't avoid things that make you feel weak, right? And he's like, when you say things that are inauthentic to your person, when you say things that come out of somebody else's mouth, right, and you take them as your own ideas, then he's like, you'll find yourself, you'll feel weak. Why? Because when somebody questions you on that idea, you have nothing to stand on because those aren't your words. You haven't really thought that idea through. Mm-hmm. So now it becomes a battle of you being an authentic person.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe when people have ideas, when people have ideas that are criticized, it's important to separate yourself from the idea. And you're only talking about that idea.
Absolutely. So I think in order to improve the system of criticism, definitely the onus is on the criticizer just as much as it is on the criticizee, if that's a word.
We'll
make a word. All right. You know, you have to deliver the criticism in a way that it can be received dispassionately, that it won't trigger a defensive reaction. That's on you to a certain degree. You know, you can do all your best at that and the person still gets defensive. Okay, that's on them. But you can't just lash out in anger when you have a valid criticism to deliver and say, well, I had a valid criticism to deliver and you're being defensive. Yeah, you were also being very angry and emotional. It didn't help, right? So when you deliver the criticism, it's very important to do it only when you're in a calm state of mind, not right at the moment when something happens. You know, it might take a day to cool off and go back to the person and say, listen, we got to talk about this. It's been bothering me. I have to tell you how I feel. I want you to know how I feel. Or I think you need to know this. Whatever it is.
I think that's important, right? Isn't that Jewish? Sorry.
Yeah. So the idea is criticism being delivered is only effective when it's being delivered for the sake of the person you're telling it to. It's never going to work when you deliver it to get something off your chest. That's not criticism. That's therapy. I don't know what that is. That's not criticism. That's not helpful. The person is not going to receive it. It's not going to go in. It's going to bounce right off. It has to be delivered only when you are totally focused on this is for your benefit. It's not about me. I can just as easily ignore this whole thing and not tell you anything and I'll be fine. But for your sake, you need to know. If you're not in that state of mind, don't say anything. If you're not in that mood, then keep your mouth shut. It's not going to help. It has to be you're in a state of calm. You're ready to do something for that person for their own benefit. Obviously, you'll gain too because they'll improve their ways and they'll be nicer to be around. There's a story told of a rabbi who was once getting an injection. And the nurse came in to deliver the injection, and the nurse cleansed the area with rubbing alcohol and swabbed their own hands with rubbing alcohol and sterilized the instruments and all that jazz. And the rabbi asked the nurse, why do you have to go through all this preparation with all the alcohol? I bathed today. I'm sure you bathed today. We're both clean. Just do the deed. And the nurse said, well, when we administer an injection, we're opening a small hole in the body. When we open a small hole in the body, it's possible for other things to get in there besides for the medicine if we're not careful. So all this rubbing alcohol, all the sterilization is there to make sure that no other foreign entity gets inside that little hole that we're opening in the body with the shot. Because if something else can get in there, then not only will it limit or harm the effect of the medicine, it can actually cause additional problems. And so the rabbi said, what a great lesson this is. Criticism is like medicine. It's very beneficial for the person, but it also stings a little bit like the shot of a needle. And you also need to take all these precautions. You have to scrub the area, prepare the area where you're administering the criticism. So prepare the person, the target, prepare yourself, cleanse yourself of any kind of selfish motive, of any kind of egotistical drive that's pushing you to say this, and deliver only the medicine, nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not careful to do that, it's going to backfire. And if you're not able to do that, then don't say anything.
Yeah.
That's what's on the person doing the criticizing. And it's hard, man. It's hard work.
Well, I feel like it's Well, I feel like it comes back to that point of, like, you really have to disassociate yourself from what you're doing, right? It's not, like well, yeah, I guess, like, you know, what is the drive? What is the drive? That is it because you're going to feel better about yourself that you're telling somebody that they're messing up?
Right.
You know?
Sometimes.
Like, I see, there's oftentimes, like, I'm at the gym and I'll see people, you know, working out. They may be not doing the correct movements. It's not harming anybody, right? And it's right. Like, you could go over there and be like, hey, you're doing this and this wrong. And that might make that person feel, you know, kind of bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you see somebody who's, like, actually doing something that might hurt them, right?
Right.
And that's when you can step in and say, hey, you know, you might want to fix this up because this might actually hurt you in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
And those are two different things, because one person might figure it out on their own and the other one is just for their own benefit.
Right. In other words, in the first case, there's not really that much of a difference whether you speak up or not. And if you are speaking up, it's likely that you're doing it just because you want to show, look, I'm the pro, you're the amateur.
Yeah.
You should. You want to establish like a pecking order, a social hierarchy, whatever.
Yeah, acknowledge my prowess.
Exactly. Bow when I walk in.
Exactly.
But with the second case, the only reason you'd be doing it, or at least the primary reason you'd be doing it, is just for the guy's, like, I don't want him to break a leg. He's going to pull a muscle. He's going to get hurt.
Right? Yeah.
That's a great example. That is a great example.
But additionally, I remember I heard, you know, this Jewish adage, and I'm sure you know better than me, but, you know, you can't console a person when their debt is in front of them, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a more philosophical idea than just in consolation, right?
Right. So what are you getting at with that?
That, you know, after a person messes up, and, like, sometimes you see a person knows they mess up, and, like, you go over to them, and it's like, you messed up. It's like, well, yeah.
Make it worse.
Like,
I know,
right?
Don't make it worse.
It's like, they're not going to accept that right then, because they're mad at themselves, they're mad at the world. Right.
And you come and say, oh, you know, I know how you can do a better job. Like, dude, come back to me tomorrow.
There's a time and a place for everything.
For sure. For sure. It's an art. All right, we're going to try to play some music now. Let's see how this goes. It's not going. Forget about it.
It's okay. Who needs music? We have the music of our mouths, you know?
Yeah, it's very musical, I must say. It is very musical indeed. So tell me something. Can I ask you, like, maybe on a personal level, were there any moments for you where you felt that somebody criticized you the right way and you were able to take it and say, you know what? I have no problem accepting that. You're right. Thank you for telling me.
Well, like,
you ever experienced that?
I'm not one to get criticized, you know? I'm the criticizer, you know, I'm the...
All right, well, have you ever criticized someone and they've said, you know what, you're right, that's a great point?
You know, honestly, this point is very difficult, because for me, I shy away from trying to tell people what to do, because I often worry that maybe it might lead to more harm than good, because maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. I always try to veer away from telling people what to do or what not to do, because I also don't know what I'm doing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then again...
But that's not true of every area of life.
Well, yeah, you're right.
You know how to fry an egg.
I know how to fry an egg.
If somebody was frying an egg wrong, you would know what to say.
Yeah, but I'm not going to criticize them frying an egg.
Why not?
Because they're frying an egg. Who cares?
You're doing it all wrong.
They like it that way.
But it's wrong.
But it's like McDonald's or Burger King or one of those. Like, have it your way, right? one of whichever one.
Right.
Right? But I find when I am getting criticized, I do have to take a step back, like... Because when people are criticizing me, it's like, no, like, I am, like, an intelligent human being, and clearly my way is the correct way. Like, I don't understand why you're even, like, talking about this.
Right.
And then, like, after the heat of the moment, you realize, like, you know what? Maybe I was a D-word. Like, you know, maybe I could have handled that situation a bit better, because it had nothing to do with the idea. It was more me and my pride.
Right. Isn't it interesting, though, that a moment ago you said that you're reluctant to give criticism because, what do I know? Who am I? But when you get the criticism, that reaction suddenly changes. And it's like, hello, I know what I'm doing. Don't talk to me like that. Isn't that amazing?
Well, yeah.
It's so interesting. It's like, the humility is only there when it's time to deliver some criticism. When it's time to take some criticism, the humility is gone. Well, maybe it's not really humility.
Yeah. I think it's definitely much harder to take criticism than to give criticism.
Most people, anyway.
But for a lot of people, giving the criticism is like their favorite day. Like it's their favorite thing of the day.
There are some people like that.
Right? You look at the YouTube comments. Look at the
all our favorite people.
Look at Twitter. Right? That's why we're surviving. And I think it maybe speaks to something deeper.
What do you think it speaks to?
Like, why criticize? Like, if everything's going right in your life, why go out of your way to start finding faults in other people?
If everything's going right in your life. That's a big if.
But, okay, and let's say...
What if it isn't? What if it's all your fault that things aren't going well in my life?
Even more so, if everything is not going well in your life, then why look for other places to fix? Like, if your house is falling apart, why go fix your neighbor's house?
This is a review of 12 Rules for Life.
I haven't read it, actually. I haven't read it. But I'm just saying, it's a real thing. Like, I don't know. Like, what? It's important to get your ducks in a row and then look at other ducks.
Right. No, fine. I have no problem with that. I think there's a difference, though, between offering criticism and, I don't know, fighting for justice. You know? When you protest an injustice, is that the same thing as criticism? I guess so. Ultimately, look, it's the same point in mind. Ultimately, you want to be effective. Right? Because protesting injustice or criticizing or whatever you want to call it, that it's not going to be effective, is frustrating for everybody and does not help. You're not part of the solution. You have to deliver the protest or the criticism in a way that will be effective according to the person you're trying to influence. You have to understand who that person is. You understand what moves them and how they make decisions and what influences them, and address those and hit those target points. Otherwise, you're just vomiting your displeasure and no one's going to pay attention.
No, I 100% agree with you, but do you think you could do that if your own self isn't in order? But if you're, like, for the most part, like, you haven't addressed the issues that you have.
Yes and no. First of all, if you say that that's the requirement, like, that's the prerequisite for criticism, is that you're okay, then no one can ever criticize anybody, and we all lose.
Well, let's say, like, 75%, 80%. You're 80% okay.
So where do you draw the line exactly? That's very vague. I think you have to be able to deliver criticism, as long as you know how to. You have to be allowed to, quote-unquote, deliver criticism, even if you're not perfect. Because no one's ever perfect, and we have to be able to hear criticism from our peers. You can't shut down all criticism because, oh, you're not perfect. I think maybe the difference would be if the area, the item, the issue about which you're offering criticism is itself an area that you have a lot of work to do in, and you're far behind where you should be, then it really rings hollow when you're criticizing.
Okay, so that's kind of what I was going to get at.
So if that's what you meant, then I don't think that that's unfair, because it really is difficult to accept and listen to criticism from somebody that's literally in the same boat as you. You know, two people wake up late and one of them starts giving a lecture. You know, you got to wake up on time. Like, hello, how tone deaf are you? That doesn't work. I mean, lectures don't work at all, but certainly not from someone that has the same problem.
Yeah.
So effective criticism would be an area in which you are doing well and you see someone else not doing so well and you're not motivated by any kind of anger or self-righteousness or one-upmanship. You're literally, I'm here for you. I care somehow. I care about you and I don't want you to go through this thing anymore. This is not good for you. And I think I see a way out. Here's some constructive criticism on how you can improve your life. Here's what I've done. I used to be in that position. I worked on it for 5 years. Here's how it goes. You know, someone who's struggling with losing weight, would he be faster to listen to advice and criticism from somebody who has never had a weight problem, who has always been in perfect health, tip-top shape, genetically? Or would he rather hear it from somebody who used to weigh 350 pounds and got it down to a reasonable weight and had to struggle and go through the ups and downs and the difficulties and the sacrifices and the discipline?
Oh, definitely.
You want to hear from somebody that has gone through it but is not there now. You're not going to take health advice from somebody who's morbidly obese, right? You're not going to take financial advice from someone that's broke. That doesn't work. But the difference between someone who's been always pure or someone who had to struggle to get to where they are now, I think is actually the advantage. The advantage goes to the person who had to struggle to succeed, but is now in a place of, you know, light.
Yeah, you see this with alcohol, like in Alcoholics Anonymous or any of these groups, right? They take sponsors, right? And the sponsors are people who have gone through the program. They're, let's say, like 10 years clean, you know, however long, right? And they take people who are just new into the system.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like they're just this holier than thou mentality, right? It's like they need each other,
right?
They work together as a team. It's like, I can help you and you can help me.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you're going through and you know what I'm going through, but I just have a little bit of a step up on you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
But it comes from, 'cause
I've been down the road.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And I'm not, you know, playing superior. I'm not trying to look down on you, but I can show you the way 'cause I walked out of this forest before.
Exactly.
Right.
And I feel like in that sense, you can learn a lot in terms of like, well, where does that motivation come from the critique? Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And at the end of the day, though, you know, there's so much that's on them, that the responsibility of the one delivering the criticism. There's still a lot on the person receiving the criticism. You know, you have to be able to sit there and say, how valid is this? Am I my own worst enemy? Am I shooting myself in the leg? Am I doing something wrong here that I should be doing better? I'm not perfect. It's okay to hear a message that here's how you should improve. Here's what you can do. You know, and even if the person is not delivering it in the most conducive way, maybe they are letting out a little bit too much anger or emotion, or they are getting personal. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's, in that case, it's on you to really listen, because your own self-love will cover over so much criticism and will rationalize and justify so many problems that you might never ever realize. Sure, you know that you have this issue of, you know, always eating a dozen cookies before you go to bed, but you get used to it. And you rationalize it, and you say it's okay. And meanwhile, you're suffering because of that. You're not going to gain anything other than weight from doing that. It's not going to be good for you. It's not healthy. And sometimes it takes another person coming into the picture and saying, dude, what are you doing? You're kidding me. A dozen cookies every night? Are you mad? Are you mad? Right? Because you're so wired towards self-preservation, as much as you might beat yourself up, you don't really criticize yourself properly sometimes. And you need to be able to listen to another person who can bring that perspective into your life, show you where you're tripping yourself up, and help you out. And if you shut that down, it's not as if you won the battle because you got them back. You're really the loser. You lost out on a chance for more self-awareness. You lost on a chance for self-improvement. And what'd you gain? A few pride points in the totem pole of the rat race.
I feel like as a whole, you lose them, right? Like when you start being defensive in terms of the critique, you start losing those pride points. Like to yourself, you're gaining them, but to everyone else, you're like, wow.
Yeah,
you
know, it's not a great look.
Hold up. But there's two things that I guess recently I've adopted. One of them is the first little bit of Tanya where it's like, if everybody tells you that you're righteous, know that you're wicked, or believe to yourself that you're wicked, right? And I feel like that's a really important concept with regard to the person who's receiving criticism, right? It's like, yeah, even if the world tells you, like, you know, you're the best player, you're the best person, you're the best this, right? Maybe there's something else that you can learn. Maybe there's something more that you haven't achieved yet. So you could be better. Like, it's this constant growth that we're looking for. And if somebody critiques you, think about it for a bit, because it might be helpful. Like, even if it's something that you think you've mastered, there might be an additional dimension of that skill that you haven't looked at, that you haven't touched.
Right. So you might, in the short term, feel as if you're losing out a few pride points. But if there's a real issue, and you actually change it, you actually fix it, so you gain for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You're the winner.
Right. You're always the learner. You always have to...
Sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. Right? You never lose. In everything. I really believe that. Either you win or you learn. So let's keep learning and stop being focused on only winning, because a criticism is a time you might not feel like you're winning, but you're definitely going to learn. Ba-bam.